Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hey folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 277, recorded live on the YDF Media Network on March the 5th, 2024. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, Pete. What's going on, my friend?
Not much. What are you up to?
Oh, you know, just the usual, been under the weather, but we'll get to that. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who manage to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. We want to share that magic with you, so pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Why are you under the weather, Kevin?
I've been feeling like, you know that feeling like where you think you're getting sick?
Yeah, that weird, like, 2 or 3 days, like, you think you're gonna get the flu?
Yeah, where, like, you feel sick, but you're not, like, full-blown sick yet, and, like, you just, like, I gotta take care of myself, I gotta rest, that's been me for the last week.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, I have, like, my, you know, I've been feeling like garbage, and, but, you know, gotta raise the spirits for Two Men and the Mouse this week.
There you go.
Gotta get pumped up. Yeah, gotta get pumped up to talk the Disney news, and we've got a lot of news this week, folks. We have got so much news, but first, a big thank you to all of our friends over at patreon.com/twomenandthemouse. Getting all that exclusive content over there, or you can join there over at patreon.com/twomenandthemouse. All right, ready for the news this week, brought to you by our friends at Away With Me Travel for all your Disney travel needs.
Let's do it.
All right, in worldwide news, this is pretty exciting. Drones have been spotted over Walt Disney World.
I mean, they got to get the drones going.
I mean, no, and we're not talking Russian spy drones or, like, you know, anything like that. We're talking like Disney drones, like, you know, magical drones.
I see the drone stuff they do, like, in other countries.
Yeah.
You know, for, like, celebrations and stuff. And I'm like, man, we got to get this going.
And, you know, we had a drone show in Disney Springs years ago.
And it looked cool. Yeah.
It was amazing. It was awesome. So
something had to go wrong.
Yeah. So Disney has recently tested drones at Walt Disney World, and an eagle-eyed fan spotted a flight at Disney Springs. Just after 7:30 p.m., the drone made several loops around the Disney Springs lake before returning to its launch pad in the parking lot behind Cirque du Soleil. The drone, illuminated with a bright purple show light, carried out several more takeoffs and landings as part of the test. So Disneyland Paris became the first Disney theme park to incorporate drones into a nightly show as part of its 30th anniversary celebration in 2022. 200 drones were used for the Disney D-Light show, which served as a pre-show to the main Disney Illumination show. The drone segment was developed alongside specialist drone show company Dronisos, based in Bordeaux, France, which also has a new office in Orlando, Florida. The company says on its website that Orlando, as the heartbeat of the amusement park industry, emerged as a strategic location for Dronisos' American expansion. With an airbase near Orlando, the company can conduct tests and demonstrations, inviting both existing and potential clients. It isn't clear if this recent Disney Springs test involved Dronisos or not. But Disneyland Paris has recently stepped up its drone integration for its live entertainment offerings with the Disney Electrical Sky Parade, which uses 500 drones to recreate moments from the classic Disney Main Street Electrical Parade. So there you go. What do you think, drones?
I want to see this. I think this is... I'll take drones over projections on the castle.
Yeah.
I feel like we could do something cool with it.
I feel like with drones, we've been talking about drones in Walt Disney World for years now.
Yep.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it was like the first Christmas that I was down here that they did that drone show in Disney Springs. So we're talking like 9 years ago at this point.
It's time.
So, yeah. It's, you know... It's definitely time, I think. So, yeah, I'm looking right now at like the Starbright Holidays at Disney Springs. Okay, it was 2016, so it was my second Christmas here. So 8 years ago that was going on. It was a 5-minute show with 300 drones, and they were choreographed in 3D space over to the Disney Springs Lake and synchronized the holiday music, and it was wonderful.
It was, and we thought really, that really was like the precursor to like bigger and better things. Well, and instead it was
they
it.
Were, yeah, they were about to announce what we eventually came to be known as Harmonious and Enchantment.
Yep.
But now we've had four new nighttime shows announced since then, and none of them involve drones.
Nope.
Reservations are now open for the new 1900 Park Fair. What are the odds that you you check this one out?
You know, it's funny. I would say 0% up until I believe we last time talked about some of the characters there, and I was like, you know what?
Yeah. So Disney they've opened reservations for the April 10th reopening of 1900 Park Fair at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. Reservations are available for breakfast and dinner from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. and 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. daily. 1900 Park Fair is on the Disney Dining Plan, requires one credit. So characters, we were just saying, characters include Aladdin in his Prince Ali attire, Cinderella, Mirabelle, and Tiana showcasing her new look for Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Yeah, maybe. I wonder, is that all meals? Is that breakfast? Is that lunch?
I'm not 100% sure, but we do have some news on the menu items coming to 1900 Park Fair.
Oh, okay, read that.
Yeah. With reservations now available, Disney has shared a first look at its new menu. You've got bread pudding with vanilla cream anglaise, donut holes tossed with shimmer. Shimmer? I wonder if that's like glaze?
What? I imagine it's glitter.
Yeah, just eating glitter. I think that's a great idea. Well,
edible glitter.
Okay.
Disney uses edible glitter a lot.
Okay. The Grand Floridian strawberry soup with fresh strawberries and whipped cream. The double chocolate muffin. A guava and cream cheese Danish, cinnamon pull-apart bread, beef and potato hash, classic eggs Benedict with hollandaise sauce, carved ham, croissant breakfast pizza, smoked salmon, cheesy potato casserole, spiced tofu scramble with vegetables, and an assortment of fruit, cereals, pastries, and breads, as well as a variety of plant-based options. Now here's the dinner menu. Peel and eat shrimp with cocktail sauce. Tiana's gumbo with spicy andouille sausage.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
I mean, look, we've been wanting to do Tiana's gumbo for since that movie came out. Like,
yeah, I didn't think it would be at 1900 Park Fair, but okay.
Well, but Tiana's there, so
yeah, I know, I get it.
And I don't think that's like a quick service meal. So you know, because if they do some kind of like food, you know, location alongside Bayou Adventure, it's going to be quick service, obviously.
Well, yeah, they don't have the room, right?
We've also got baked salmon with saffron lemon butter, carved prime rib, curry roasted chicken, roasted garlic sausage with tomatoes, herbs, and braised cabbage, horchetta with hunter's sauce, couscous salad with dried fruits, almond, mint, and parsley, sun-dried tomato and rosemary focaccia, mashed potatoes, green beans, glazed carrots, the Grand Floridian strawberry soup, the Grand Floridian financier, which is almond cake with sea salt caramel tossed with meringue, and toasted meringue, toasted coconut cake with passion fruit custard and hibiscus cream, lemon blueberry cheesecake, a vanilla cupcake, and a fudge brownie with triple chocolate mousse. So there you go. That's quite a lot.
All right.
They've also got a lavender lemonade, which is non-alcoholic. The So Many Wishes, which is pomegranate green tea, hibiscus lemon, and a dash of stardust, also non-alcoholic. Passion fruit daiquiri, which is Diplomatico Planas Extra Anejo Blanco Rum, Aperol Liqueur, Passion Fruit Vanilla and Lime, and a Strawberry Rosé Spritz La Fête du Rose, Rocky's Botanical Liqueur, Tito's Handmade Vodka, and Strawberry. So, there you go. The new 1900 Park. That actually sounds pretty interesting.
It does. I don't know if I could give it a dinner just because, you know, there's so many restaurants I really like. But I'm really curious to see if they've kind of like redid the room a little bit. And,
I'm sure they had to have, right?
Yeah. I think they had to have.
You know, here's my thing. The one thing I will miss from 1900 Park Fair, which I felt was the big draw, was Lady Tremaine and the Stepsisters.
I listen, when I can tell you, I had a great time when I went. but I had a great time because my kids were the right age and the characters were awesome.
Yeah.
I don't remember the food being like so great. But like, and the strawberry soup was let down for me, but I know people do love it. The characters were fantastic. And specifically because I knew, where are you getting Lady Tremaine in Disney ever?
Yeah.
So
she used to be out in Magic Kingdom with the stepsisters, but she's not anymore. Now it's just them.
I will say that this new lineup does seem more basic than the old lineup, but I don't know. What can you do?
I mean, look, Aladdin is Prince Ali and Tiana in her new Bayou Adventure outfit. That's exciting.
Right.
So. All right. Water park news. Disney resort guests in 2025 will be getting free water park admission.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Starting in 2025, guests checking into a Walt Disney World Resort hotel will be treated to complimentary access to either Disney's Typhoon Lagoon Water Park or Disney's Blizzard Beach Water Park on the day they arrive. The new benefit is available to guests staying at any Walt Disney World operated hotel, including value, moderate, and deluxe categories. It's also available to guests staying with Disney Vacation Club points. Walt Disney World Resort stays and theme park tickets for 2025 will be available to purchase beginning February 27th, 2024. So they're available now. So important information about this benefit. This benefit is exclusive to registered guests staying at a Disney Resort hotel with a check-in date from January 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2025. All guests must be on the room reservation. The benefit is only on the day of check-in and is valid for admission to either of the two water parks. Check the park calendar and operating hours closer to your 2025 arrival plan to your check-in day. Usage of this benefit is subject to availability. Water parks are subjected to extended rehabilitation, seasonal capacity, and weather closures, or may close for other reasons. Each water park is refurbished annually. These routine maintenance periods are staggered, so guests should be able to enjoy at least one water park experience year-round. Water park admission is non-transferable, non-refundable, and has no cash value. So, there you go.
I think that's an interesting promotion.
On the day of your arrival is the part that I thought was
interesting. I get it. Well, no, I understand its limitations, but I do feel like if you're someone who gets to Orlando around noon and maybe you're like, oh, I've never been, like, I'm just thinking of me, I would be tempted to be like, I've never been to a water park. I don't even know if I'm really going to go and partake, but maybe I'll just go over and check it out.
Right.
If I was having dinner at Springs at night or something like that. Notice if I had a park hopper and I'm going to park, then I don't really care that much. But I'm just saying it is interesting.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I think people who maybe never do it could get a opportunity to see the parks.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? People are always looking for that thing to do on their first day if they're not going to the park. So,
right. You're right.
You know. I don't know if a water park day would be my cup of tea for a day of, checking in. Like, I can't imagine getting to the resort and being like, all right, everyone throw your bathing suits on. It's and like, yeah. You can't like usually you don't get your room until later in the day. So I don't know.
Right.
I'm very confused by a lot of it. All right. So in Disney Springs news, we've got a Academy Awards Oscars photo op in Town Center at Disney Springs and Walt Disney World.
Okay.
Guests can take a photo with an oversized version of the famous Oscar statuette, complete with a red carpet. I hate this. I hate it so much. There's nothing in the world, Peter Mandel, that I hate more than Hollywood award shows.
I can't say I totally hate them. I don't care either way. I never need to see one ever again.
I will never watch one. I just hate it. I hate it so much. These adult pretenders sniffing their own farts as they pat themselves on the back, for acting. Like, I can't do it. I can't watch them all float around and bask in their own glory with each other. I hate it. I hate it so much. There's only been one interesting thing that's happened at the Oscars in the last 20 years, and that was when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock.
What about, do you like the fashion?
No. You can feed a small country for what these people pay for these dresses that they wear for one night.
Well, that's a totally different topic.
I know, but it's I don't care. I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care who you're wearing. Like, I don't care. It feeds into this like, I feel like a lot of times we lose track of the understanding that consumer products are created for consumers.
Right.
Right. I feel like now it's the actor's right to be an actor and be in movies. And it is your responsibility to go support their dream. Like, things aren't for the consumer anymore. They're for the performers now. And I don't like that.
Okay.
You know, it's, you know, entertainment is a consumer product. You know, at the end of the day, we don't do Two Men and a Mouse for us. We do it for, you know, like our, for the listeners. Like there are plenty of things that we could do on this show that I've said no to because I'm like, oh, well, you know, I don't think the listeners would find that very interesting.
A little bit for us, though. We love it.
Yeah. So, you know, anytime I see the Oscar statue or anything like that, I'm just like, ugh. Like, I just, there's nothing I hate more in this world than Hollywood award shows. It's awful. I remember I went to, back when I was living in Jersey, I did community theater, and we went to like the community theater, like New Jersey award shows this one year. Cause like right. two shows that I was in were nominated.
What? Wait, it has a name, doesn't it?
Yes. It's the Perry Awards.
The Perry. Yeah. Sorry. I know someone who's won. That's why they always tell me that. It's awful.
Let me tell you something. It was like the worst night of my life. Like I
really,
oh, I sat there and I'm like, ugh. Like it was,
were you nominated?
I was in like two different shows that were nominated for best show. One of which I was the lead in was Seussical. And you know, I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I hate this. I hate every second of this. I hate every solitary second of this. Yeah, it was awful. And I was like, never again. I don't care if they're giving out the Kevin J. Kessler Award for Excellence in Community Theater. I'm like, I'm never going. I ain't going. We were at one of the first, back when I was like training in wrestling, we went to like one of the shows for the school that we were training at. And the guy who owned the school, it was like this old guy, he thought he was like this hardcore wrestler, and he had this match with like one of like the top students there, and it was so slow and so boring, and it was awful, right? And I remember we're sitting there in the back, and the ring announcer goes, and come back next week, folks, for a rematch of the match you just saw in a chain match. And my friend Kyle, loud as anything, just goes, I ain't going. Oh, it was the funniest thing. But yeah, so that reminds me of that. In Epcot news, the World Celebration Walkway has closed over by the Imagination Pavilion. A section of the walkway in Epcot's World Celebration has gone behind construction walls this week as work continues on the nearby Communicore Hall and Plaza. The walkway is blocked from the area in front of the Imagination Pavilion that links the Rose Walk to World Nature. The alternative route is that all guest traffic from the Rose Walk must pass through the center of World Celebration Gardens. Man, I can't wait for this Communicore Hall to be done.
Is it ever going to be done?
Yes, I would assume it will be. I mean, I just can't wait until I have a construction wall free Epcot. It's been so long.
It's been years and years.
Years so. And years. Yeah. Yes. I mean, when did the work on the new Epcot start?
I mean, pre-COVID.
It's like 2019, maybe 2018.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Soarin' Around the World has reopened over in Epcot. And something that a lot of people thought they were doing did not happen. It has returned, replacing the limited time Soarin' Over California. The Soarin' Around the World movie is back without any changes. So a lot of people thought that when they took it out, that they were adding to the finale, the new Epcot. You know, like they were,
right.
They were, but it's still the old future world. So Soarin' Around the World first opened on June 17th, 2016 as a reboot of the original 2005 Soarin' attraction. It takes guests to six continents, the Great Wall of China, Sydney Harbour in Australia, Monument Valley, the Great Pyramids of Egypt, Switzerland's Matterhorn Mountain, and the Eiffel Tower in Paris, among others. Fans have criticized the newer version of Soarin' for its use of computer-generated imagery and heavily distorted lines of the Eiffel Tower. Yes, the tilted Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, it's a little skewed, huh?
A little bit. But yeah, so no changes made to the movie. I think a lot of people thought, but then again, I'm like, they're not gonna like film something to show the new Epcot until Communicore Hall is done and open.
Imagine like you fly over Epcot and there's construction everywhere. There's
construction still. Walls, a big construction site. All right, so Disney's Wish is headlining its second festival now. Okay. Yeah, so the International Flower and Garden Festival, the main topiary in front of Future World is Wish.
All right.
This would make it now two festivals because they did, for some reason, Festival of the Holidays was also Wish. And I remember walking in and being like, this is the Christmas setup, Wish.
Right.
This failed bomb of a movie, like that no one likes and no one saw. Why is this the centerpiece of now two festivals? But you know, I get it's the new thing. Last year they had the Magical Family from Encanto, and I love that. I love that. And honestly, I think Isabella should kind of be like the character mascot of Flower and Garden Festival.
Yeah, why not? Right, makes total sense.
Like that's her whole gimmick is Flower and Garden.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the Madrigals have been moved to the entrance of World Showcase this year, and yeah, so guests arriving in Epcot can see a brand new topiary from the Walt Disney Animation Studio film Wish, including Asha, Valentino, and Star at the park's main entrance. I don't know who any of those characters are, nor does anyone. So
you know who Star is, and you know who Asha is.
Is Star the star?
Correct.
Okay. I got that one. It's like the Shrek is Donkey the Donkey?
Right.
Does the star talk? Like, is the star voiced by Eddie Murphy?
I don't know if the star talks. I have no idea.
Is it like Asha? I'm a star, Asha. I'm a donkey, Shrek.
No, but Valentino is like the donkey of Wish, right?
Is it voiced by Eddie Murphy?
It is not. No.
Then I don't care
because he's like a little talking four-legged animal.
Does he talk?
Yes, he gains voice. I just saw this in the trailer, so.
But it's not Eddie. Spoiler. It's not Eddie Murphy.
It's not Eddie Murphy, but he does gain voice in the epic adventure.
Did you see it?
I did not. No.
Yeah. No.
I would know if Star talked if I saw it. But
true,
I would like to see it. Maybe I'll watch it one day. Who knows?
Is it on Disney Plus yet?
I don't know.
But yeah, so I mean they're pushing this hard. They're pushing this harder than they pushed anything recently. Like, because I remember like when things like Elemental came out, and like I'd be like, "Where's all the merch? Like, where's the like you?"
And Elemental was good.
Yeah, the Elemental was kind of the little engine that could. People thought that it bombed when it first came out, but like they kept that in theaters for a long time, and it was like, you know, it just kind of kept picking up steam little by little, and I think Elemental was a success. I still haven't watched it, but I've heard good things.
I saw it opening weekend. Ethan really wanted to see it, so the two of us went to go see it. And then everyone, you know, all my like, you know, contrarian Disney hating friends were like, "Oh, it bombed." And I'm like, "Okay, but I mean, it's so hard to determine what a bomb is now. I mean, these things have second life on streaming, and then like it didn't really bomb by the end of its run. Like it just stayed around."
Yeah, and to play devil's advocate against myself for a moment, I mean, Encanto bombed.
Correct.
Encanto was a bomb in theaters, and then it became the biggest thing ever on streaming, which, I mean, honestly, I know we've talked about it before, but I honestly foresee the day where we just don't even release these movies in theaters anymore.
Nah, it's not gonna happen.
I don't know, man. It might.
Listen, I went to go see Dune last night in Dolby. Trust me, it's not gonna happen.
No, not just things like Dune. I mean, things like family animation films, because they're all
there's still too much money to be made.
I don't know about that, man. The only family animation film that like really turned a heavy profit last year was Mario.
Right.
For good reason. That movie rocked. But you know,
but you don't think Frozen 3 is making it to the theater?
No, I obviously Frozen 3 will
Moana 2, which I know, you know.
No interest in Moana 2. I was like, this is talk about a movie that did not need a sequel. Like Moana was just, it hit such a perfect note, and I'm like, I really hope you guys have something to say, like in this, like you have a story, and it wasn't just we need a second Moana because people like it. You know, like Frozen 2, I think is a great example of a sequel where we had a story ready to go, we had something to say.
you know, I love Frozen 2. I think I honestly think Frozen 2.
Frozen 2 is great.
I think Frozen 2 is infinitely better than the first one. Like, there are,
that's
like
crazy talk, but I mean, it is really good.
I think the music is better. I think the story is better. There are stakes. Elsa does things. Into the Unknown is the best song in for all of Frozen.
That's not true. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you know what Scentsy is?
No.
So Scentsy is, and nor should we know, right? As like, you know,
it's not a karate instructor, right?
No. It is like a fragrance thing for in your home.
Oh, Scentsy. I've seen like the word.
Right. So how would I possibly know what this is? I'll tell you how I know, because they made a Haunted Mansion Scentsy warmer. Okay. So I'm like, oh, that's really cool, right? So I know someone, and they're like, I'll get it for you. I'm okay. So I got it. It comes with like a Haunted Mansion fragrance. I'm like, that's neat. I'll probably never use it. And then, dude, they do tons of Disney park stuff. I currently in my living room have a Small World, like animated Scentsy warmer that my wife uses. I don't care what the scents are, but she loves that. Okay. But anyway, the reason why I bring this up is I noticed at Flower and Garden, if you've been there, they sponsor a whole section.
Yeah, they
do. And I thought it was really cool. Like, they tie in like the scents from
does it actually smell Flower like a garden?
Yeah, it's cool.
Because I got a candle one time that was like supposed to smell like the Polynesian Resort lobby, and it did not.
Well, you know, it's funny. We got, so the 50th anniversary scent was also basically what the Disneyland hotel smells like. Don't ask me why, but it was so weird because we used it in my house. And when we walked into Disneyland hotel, we were all like kind of floored by the fact like, whoa, it really smells like it. Uh-huh. So,
that's
but
cool.
I just thought it was neat. I saw all the pictures from Epcot, like from, they have all the scents like with the different, like, you know, hibiscus and stuff like that.
Oh, that's
I thought it was really cool. Yeah.
I like that. So the water curtain effect in Journey of Water inspired by Moana is currently closed. The popular water curtain effect is currently closed off to guests. When working, a curtain of water blocks the way through the cave and magically parts as guests walk through. It's a really cool like power moment as you walk in the water, you know, like, you know. There are two water curtains, and both are currently blocked. The dry pathway is the only way to continue through the experience. There is no word yet on when the effect will return. You know, Journey of Water is kind of an interesting situation because it's like, I went through it when it first opened. I can't tell you when the next time I'm going to do it is.
Well, that was my fear. Is this really something that we should all be so excited about? Having said that, I'm excited to do it, but I have not done it yet.
No, it was fun to do the first time you go through, but I can't imagine it being like a highlight thing I had to do. Like, and look, it's no longer like you have to wait an hour to get in there. You just walk right through.
Right. Well, it's funny. Like, my friends, Joe and Sarah, they have two really little ones, and I know they go to that every single time they're in Epcot.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what it's designed for.
Right.
Which is great. You know, kids have a ball in there, but like, you know, for me, I'm just kind of like, okay, there's really like, I did it once. It was fun. It was cool. You know, I'm done.
I know I've said this before, but I always thought that it was going to be, you walk through this as part of your walk into Epcot. I did not realize you would exit at the same place you enter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is its own separate thing. I thought it was going to be part, like, you're walking into Epcot and this is part of the walk, like, into Epcot.
Nope.
If you want, but that is not the case.
No, it is a circular thing. You're coming out right next to where you go in. You know, it was cool. I got to feel like a waterbender for a minute.
That's Avatar. Awesome.
Yeah. You know, did you see the Netflix
show? I loved it. Loved it.
Okay. All right. Good for you.
You didn't like it?
I liked most of it. I really liked most of it. I think I liked
it. It's great.
I loved it. I was like, I am all in until the last two episodes. And I'm like, okay, this just fell apart.
No, I loved it.
Like the part where Aang never learns how to waterbend.
Okay, well, so here's the thing. they're clearly not, that show spends so much time on their lessons. I can assume that they are learning this in their free time. I don't need you to show me them like working on how to do this. I get that as through the travels of this group, they are going to be, you know, learning and practicing.
And you know what? Aang learning waterbending off screen and being able to waterbend in the finale would have been great, but he doesn't learn how to waterbend at all. And is doesn't seem to want to learn. Like they don't even go to the North Pole because he has to learn waterbending. They go to the North Pole because
he's actually waterbending at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of like being possessed.
No. In the finale, in the first, he has a fundamental understanding of waterbending in that finale. So he does.
Well, he waterbends in the very beginning. Also,
in the Avatar state, that doesn't count. Oh, no, they didn't do the Avatar state, did they?
No.
In the first one. They did it in the show. They did it.
Right. I thought all the changes were literally wonderful.
I thought it was pretty brilliant the way they would like take three episodes of the show and like mush them into one episode. I thought that was really clever and really fun.
But even seeing dialogue between Ozai and Iroh.
Yes, that was cool.
I mean, I thought it was great. The whole thing with like the 41st Legion or whatever they called them, and Zuko being there. I thought the changes were masterful. Like I could not have been more happy.
A lot of them, I'm with you on most of it. It's just those last two episodes, the whole show fell apart for me.
Oh, wow. I don't feel that way even a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I love the kid that played Aang. I loved the action. The, a lot of people are, upset because they changed the scene with Avatar Roku, going into the Avatar state and messing up the fire sages, turning it into Avatar Kyoshi. I'm like, I'm not upset about that. That was awesome.
It was great.
And like, so I've read both Avatar Kyoshi novels. And so I was loving it because they put in a lot of stuff from the books.
Yeah, Ethan loved it also. I will say that both of my kids' heads exploded though when Katara and Sokka went into the spirit world.
Yes.
But I think it was a wonderful kind of just like part of like this is going to be a little different.
Yeah, I mean you had to have a reason for Aang to go to the fire sages. Like and that reason I liked the idea that they're stuck in the spirit world with the face stealer a lot more than I liked like Aang's got to go find frozen frogs for them to suck on because they're sick. Like, you know, like that I thought that was a really good way of like kind of
it was
bringing
fun.
It was all together. Time. You know, I liked that. The last two episodes, I just got really, really mad at a lot of things. Like I felt like there were things that they rushed. There were things they took too long on. And I mean, I felt like they kind of ruined Katara's story in the last two episodes.
Wow. I didn't feel like that.
Now, Katara's story is supposed to be like, you know, the guy's like, no, we don't train girls. You know, girls are healers. And she's like, no, I want to fight. And he's like, no. And then they have that duel and he whoops on her, but she impresses him. And he's like, fine, I'll train you. And then she becomes his greatest student. And like her ability to become a waterbending master makes more sense because she's earned the master's respect. And then like even goes even further to become his greatest student. And he names her master. In this, she just kind of taught herself.
Yeah, but they don't have time for all that. So he does fight. She does fight him.
She does fight him.
But then they're under attack.
He still won't train her. It's, I don't know. I liked the idea that they were going to the North Pole specifically to learn waterbending.
Well, they are.
They're not. They're going because Kyoshi tells them they have to go there. Because the water tribe is in danger.
Yeah, but Katara mentions that she wants to go there to be trained. She talks about it the whole time, the whole show.
Yeah, but I mean, but there's no urgency for Aang to be trained. That's the problem here.
Right.
Like
right.
the world needs the Avatar to be trained in all four elements, and they're just kind of like, yeah, we'll get to it.
Listen, I don't need to watch him study. That's all I'm saying is I can buy that they're doing it as the quest is progressing.
Right. Right. I'm trying to remember like what he goes into the spirit world for in the cartoon in those last two episodes, because I know he's in the spirit world because Zuko takes him.
Right.
And but they didn't obviously do that. But I mean, I thought when I saw Admiral Zhao, I was like, oh, that guy doesn't look like Zhao. But like, I liked him a lot. I liked
he was the so good.
I liked the changes they made with him. Like for his character, it made a lot more sense. That he was just like this like low level guy, and like Azula was manipulating him from behind. I liked that. I liked the addition of Azula. You know, it's funny. Like in live action, like we looked at like Azula, Ty Lee, and May, and I turned to Rachel. I'm like, they're like 12. Like, yeah, they were like really, really young. And you don't realize that's how old they're supposed to be from the cartoon because it's a cartoon. But all right, moving on. Hollywood Studios. So in closing, I did like it. I just didn't like those last two episodes.
I really liked it.
Okay. The new Star Tours adventures, Hollywood Studios news, new Star Tours adventures, including The Mandalorian, will be debuting in early April at Walt Disney World. This is exciting.
Okay.
Disney has announced that starting April 5th, 2024, at Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, and Disneyland Paris, Star Tours The Adventures Continue will be taking you on some all-new adventures. These new additions will feature characters and locations from some of your favorite Disney Plus series, Ahsoka, The Mandalorian, and the one that no one saw, Andor. Everyone tells me that Andor is like this revelation, like this wonderful, like, oh, the best thing Star Wars. I'm like, I don't know. Like, no one watched this show. I'm sorry.
Andor, and honestly, Andor's a nightmare.
I couldn't get into it.
It's no one can. It's really well. No, it's beautiful. It's practical.
People have told themselves and told me as a result that this is the best thing Star Wars has ever done.
Yeah. Tony Gilroy doesn't like Star Wars. It's apparent. It's weird.
Yeah, and like, I'm sitting there watching like, the first like three episodes and I'm like, I'm waiting for something to happen. It's just boring. Like, it's boring.
It's really, we call it Star Wars to fall asleep to because it's like, nothing happens the whole show, and we know how it ends for Andor, so really nothing happens the whole time.
That's one of the other things. It's like when you're dealing with these prequel shows, it's kind of like, oh wow, I hope Cassian Andor makes it through this. Like, I forget
you spend 12 episodes just looking for a I remember one episode, like they're in a field and like a TIE fighter flies overhead. Me and Ethan were like, oh my gosh, like, no, like this show should be filled with Star Wars. And instead, it's just terrible.
So you will get urgent transmissions from Ahsoka Tano, Cassian Andor, and Din Djarin with Grogu as part of your next Starspeeder flight. With these additions, you now have an opportunity to experience one
guarantee
more than...
I get just Andor when I go.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I'll go three times, it'll be Andor every time.
It'll be Cassian Andor every single time. With these additions, you now have an opportunity to experience one of more than 250 storyline variations aboard the attraction, including a visit to the planet Paridia from the Ahsoka series.
Okay.
Is Paridia the like the other galaxy?
I think so, yeah.
How are we getting Paridia? There? How are we getting there? How are we getting on a Star Tours vehicle?
Those Starspeeder 1000s have some crazy hyperdrive.
No, they don't.
They do.
I know I'm being picky. I know I always get like annoyed with like story inconsistencies in Star Wars, but that's because Disney is so insistent on placing it in a very specific period of time.
Never in Star Tours. Never in Star Tours. Star Tours isn't consistent even within one ride.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know I mean, in the different parts are going to be from different timelines.
Yeah. You know the one thing that I get really, really annoyed by? Is when the transmission is Yoda.
Okay.
And he's like talking to you like on behalf of the rebellion.
Right.
And I'm like, what? No. I didn't like that. I'm like, Yoda was never part of the rebellion. Stop it.
That's true.
Okay. We actually have some outside Walt Disney World news this week to close out on. Mickey and friends will be debuting new costumes at Disney's private island, Castaway Key.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, new beachwear. So Disney Cruise Line has announced a vibrant new look for Disney characters on its private island of Castaway Key. Starting this weekend, Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, and friends will sport new beachwear that mirrors the lively and natural ambiance of the island, infused with Disney Cruise Line's iconic colors and themes. I like it. It's like blue and yellow, and it looks good. Mickey Mouse will don a hat with wave motifs and a shirt that nods to his debut in Steamboat Willie, while Minnie Mouse shines in a rainbow dress complete with sunglasses and a ship's wheel on her ribbon belt, symbolizing her signature style. Donald Duck, ready for an underwater exploration, and Daisy Duck, epitomizing beach relaxation, will also join in with their nautical-themed outfits. Goofy is set for various beach activities in his colorful gear, and Pluto celebrates the marine life with a fish-themed collar, hinting at the creatures aboard the cruise. Chip and Dale also bring a touch of adventure with their homemade pirate costumes prepared for any escapade the island might offer. So there you go. All new costumes on Castaway Key.
Are characters easy to get pictures with there?
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think the one we waited for the longest was Mickey.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and that was only like 10 minutes.
Right. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're just kind of out there, like, as you're walking into the island. So, yeah, it was a pretty easy experience to get the pictures with them. It was easier on the island than it was on the ship.
Huh.
If that makes sense. Yeah, on the ship, you were waiting a little bit for character pictures. But, all right. That's it for this week. Anything else you wanted to add?
I don't know. You?
No, I think we're good. We talked about Avatar, which, you know, is one of those things that, you know, the listeners, I kind of went back on that whole, like, this is for the listeners. Like, we just get like our tangents. And I guess this was our version of the Oscars, talking about Avatar. But yeah, but people have told me they like that. Like, when we go off on our like little, like, you know, sidebars, like,
I find that impossible to believe. We've talked about way too much Gilmore on Two Men in the Mountains.
We really have. I mean, I'm due for a rewatch on that.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. Like, I was watching 90210 on, I think, like, Amazon. And, like, I guess because of rights and music and stuff like that, like, there's whole episodes just, I mean, like, not like one episode here, one episode there. I mean, like, stretches of episodes, like, missing. I don't think that would ever happen to Gilmore. I don't think they ever used, like, popular music in their episodes.
No, I mean, most of the music in it was just, like, ba 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 ba, like, every, you know, it was always some kind of variation on that. Like, I think that they had this lady that was just, her job was to be the bop bop girl, like, ba ba ba. Like, but like on streaming, Scrubs has been kind of like destroyed on streaming, because, so here's the thing about Bill Lawrence. I mean, look, if you've watched Ted Lasso, you know Bill Lawrence is better than any showrunner I've ever seen at using the right music at the right time to pull the right emotion out of you. Like when he does that Let It Go scene in Ted Lasso, it's fantastic. Like, it's just the right note. And Scrubs was full of that. Scrubs was full of, like, the right song at the right time. But now with streaming, they don't have the rights to a lot of the songs, so they've had to change a lot of them.
Right.
So the only way to see it is on the DVD.
I've never seen Scrubs.
Oh, Scrubs is delightful. Like, it's a great... Scrubs is one of my... If I gave you, like, my top 10 favorite shows, I mean, Scrubs might even be in the top 5.
Is Scrubs a half hour? Is that a sitcom?
It's a half hour show. It doesn't have, like, a laugh track or anything. It's not like a 4-camera sitcom. But
Yeah,
it's a sitcom. And, I mean, it's just really, really funny.
I'm currently watching Superstore.
Yeah, maybe switch to Scrubs.
Yeah.
I would definitely watch Scrubs. You know, another show, I don't know if you've ever watched it, that, like, I've really, really enjoyed. I still haven't finished it, but I really enjoy what I've watched, is Kim's Convenience.
People say that's good.
Yeah, it's the guy that played Uncle Iroh.
Iroh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's the guy in Star Wars.
Yeah, can't remember his name, but...
Yeah, and that guy. Dave Filoni's wingman.
Yeah.
Trying to think of, like, the next, like, big, like, nerdy thing that I'm excited for. It might be Inside Out 2. I mean, I'm very excited for Inside Out 2.
When's that happening?
I don't know, but the trailer was really good.
I think it looks great.
Yeah. I mean, it's just always a clever concept. I like it. All right. Well, anything else you wanted to add this week?
That's it.
All right, that's going to do it for Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, please check out our good buddy Peter Mandel over at Rogue Comics at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or go to roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you're planning a trip to any Disney resort or any location throughout the world, talk to our friends over at awaywithmetravel.com or over at Away With Me Travel. You can reach out to them at Justin@awaywithmetravel.com or show@awaywithmetravel.com. And for me, folks, my books are all on Amazon. You can check it out under the name Vincent Valentin, Valentean. And, you know, the Morning Monster YouTube channel. It hasn't, you know, really been updated much. I'm not really sure when it's going to be updated again, but, you know, we're a lot of projects in the air right now. So, all right. And well, that does it for this week. Pete, any closing words?
Nope, that's it. I'll see you next week.
All right, please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.
This has been YDF Media Productions.